On the spot. Dot.
On the spot.
PG-13 in our theater,
so I had no desire to see it, but honestly, it worked out very well.
The movie was actually originally called God Particle. 5 stars. I'm gonna say 1 star. I will never see it again, and I feel bad for those who spent their money to go see it in the first place.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Thought on the Spot Movie Reviews. My name is Tommy, and today we're going to be reviewing the film Honest Thief. Honest Thief came out on October 16th, 2020, and is an action crime drama. The rating of the film is PG-13, and the runtime is 1 hour and 39 minutes. The director of the film is Mark Williams, who also directed A Family Man. And that's it. However, Mark has produced a lot of films. One of them that came up that I was kind of a fan of is The Accountant. Now, starring in the film, we have Liam Neeson, who's playing Tom. You'd recognize Liam from the Taken franchise, where he plays Brian Mills, as well as the Star Wars franchise, where he portrays Qui-Gon Jinn. We also have Kate Walsh, who plays Annie. You'd recognize Kate from Grey's Anatomy, where she plays Dr. Addison Montgomery, as well as the Umbrella Academy series, where she plays the Handler. We also have Jai Courtney, who plays Agent Nivens. You'd recognize Jai from Suicide Squad, where he played Boomerang, as well as Die Hard, where he plays John McClane's son, Jack McClane. We have Jeffrey Donovan, who plays Agent Myers. You'd recognize Jeffrey from the TV series Burn Notice, where he plays Michael Weston. He was also in the Sicario films, where he played Steve Forsing. And then finally, we have Robert Patrick, who plays Agent Sam Baker. You'd recognize Robert from Terminator 2, where he was the T-1000, as well as most recently, the Perry Mason series, where he plays Herman Baggerly. The plot of the film is, basically, we have Liam Neeson, who's wanting to lead an honest life. He's a notorious bank robber who's turning himself in, only to be double-crossed by two ruthless FBI agents.
I've robbed 12 banks in 7 states. I have a little over $9 million in cash. And no one knows who I am.
Federal Bureau of Investigation.
I want to turn myself in.
I want to make a deal.
What kind of deal?
I hand over all the money I stole in exchange for a reduced sentence. It's important.
And what's so important about it?
I met a woman. I want to be with her for the rest of my life, without lying about my past.
Special Agent Hall, this is Special Agent Evans.
Where's the money?
The man is telling the truth.
We can take this money for ourselves.
Let's do it.
Whoa, I'm turning myself in.
FBI, open up.
What exactly is going on?
His real name is Thomas Dolan, former Marine, demolitions expert.
He needs to come clean. I'm not a bank robber anymore. With the murder one charged for killing one of their own, the feds will come after me and keep coming.
If those two crooked cops are willing to kill another agent, what are they capable of doing to you and me?
My girlfriend.
She had nothing to do with this.
Agent Nivens, I'm coming for you.
Do what you have to do. Knowing how to blow stuff up, that's pretty cool.
Evans.
I want to clear my name, which means I need a full confession from you. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ready to confess?
All right, and that was the trailer for the film. And I will say, you know, seeing the trailer again, and if I'm being completely transparent, I didn't watch the whole trailer the first time I watched it. I was honestly just looking for films to go see this evening. Saw the beginning of it. Of the two films, this one just looked like it was the better one to go see. But it highlights it very well. I would almost say gives away too much, but it doesn't give away the whole film, which is great. So let's go ahead and jump into the review. Now, it's funny because right before the film started, I was reading a story about why Jackie Chan is no longer doing American movies. As it turns out, he was just tired of being typecast. He said that every script that he was sent was usually about a cop or a cop type of sorts, and then there was just a lot of fighting. And he'd said that he wanted to take on roles now that he's getting older that had more depth, and American movies were not offering him those opportunities. So I couldn't help but think that as I was getting ready to see yet another action movie with Liam Neeson, who, once again, you know, is doing this, right? He's known for doing these types of films. I have to wonder if he's getting a little tired of it. And to be honest, in this film, he is starting to look old. He's getting those, I call them the 11s, but the two lines that hang down from the chin to the neck, he's starting to kind of get that. And that being said, he pulls it off well in this film, but he's getting older, and I wonder if he's kind of getting tired of it. I think I remember even reading an interview where he said it's getting to a point where it's going to start not being believable anymore. And I can see that. And let's be honest, half of the intimidation of Liam Neeson is in his voice. You just hear it and your mind immediately goes back to that, you know, if you're looking for a ransom, I can tell you I don't have money, but what I do have are a very particular set of skills, right? And it just immediately, that's the first thing I think of. And I think most people do. It's been iconic. It's knocked off in different things. I think I was watching Family Guy the other day, and he did kind of a rendition of the, you know, special skills speech. So, but the film does well to not go overboard on matching his age with the stunts done in the film. And I have to give them props for that. The only part that was a little overboard is a scene where he and Jai are fighting and fall out a window. And of course that part is actually in the trailer too, so I'm not giving too much away, but that, I would say that was the only one where you're like, he's a little too old to be jumping up back out of that fall. Beyond that, it's kept well within what would be the believable guide rails of his character. The story is well done too. It doesn't dwell too much in his past, but gives you enough information to be able to move forward, but at the same time doesn't treat it like it's a subnote in the film. The cast is amazing. I didn't realize how many stars there were in the film until it began, and really created a greater appreciation because the characters deliver it so well because of the actors that we have involved. The script itself is, it's fine, but you can tell it took, you know, by having this script and these characters, it took it to a whole new level, a level that it needed to be taken to be taken seriously enough to be seen in a theater. Had it only been Liam, I don't know that it would fare as well as it did, almost to a point where you would think, why didn't they just release this on Netflix or stream it? But as mentioned earlier, of course, with this cast, it supports it well. The movie time is spot on. I did end up checking my watch only once, and that was when there was only 5 minutes left of the film to see. That tells me they nailed it. And I say this because you might think, well, you checked your watch, it must have not been that good. You know what, when you've seen so many action movies, you start to understand the formula. And so you start, for me, when I check my watch, I start to think, are we winding down? Because I feel like we should be winding down right now. And when it is, when it was only 5 minutes left, that's spot on. That was great. So, kudos to them for that. So that concludes my review of the film. Are there any stingers during or after the credits? No, there's none. So once it's done, beyond that, like, I think it's a decent film. And because of that, I give it 3.5 out of 5. Some final thoughts as I'm closing up here. If you have not seen it yet, David Letterman just released his second season of My Next Guest Needs No Introduction on Netflix. If you've, you know, like I said, if you haven't seen it, I would recommend it. Although the interview with Lizzo is probably not my favorite of the ones done this season, the interview with Kanye, I said Kanye, is a little bit off the rails and tends to feel like it's more, and this is not because of David Letterman, but all Kanye on this, but it feels like it became kind of a podium for Kanye to share all of his personal insights on how he feels about some, what I would say, touchy matters that I don't think Letterman was even going to really touch. And Kanye kind of takes it there. And I won't give away too much, but he's got some issues for sure. You know, at the same time, we also do get in the interview some insights about him on more of a personal level, and really kind of you find out what drives him to act the way that he does, which is interesting. It's almost like he's saying, this is why I act the way I am, of course, out of his control. And then you get a good dose of it too. That being said, I don't think the interview was a complete wash or failure or however you want to put that, but it is one of the worst. And what's interesting is he also interviews his wife, you know, so it's interesting to see the yin to the yang with that. And makes you kind of wonder how they handle that together. I don't know. It's interesting. That being said, by far my favorite interview was the one with Dave Chappelle. In my opinion, and I'm sure many others, Chappelle is a comedy genius to a point where I don't think he could ever be touched. You know, we have the legends, you know, and I'm thinking of things like Pryor and Carlin and Murphy, and I feel like Chappelle blows him away. I really do. And furthermore, it just feels natural for him. Like, he doesn't have to try. I don't know how true that is, but I will say this. You do find out what he's been doing during this pandemic with his master craft. It's not only touching, but it's admirable on so many levels that I can't even explain. So I encourage you to, if you're going to watch it, at least watch this interview. I will also share this, and I apologize if this seems spoilerish, but David Letterman, and I'm getting old, and so I realize that generations are kind of moving past this, but David Letterman has changed many lives in the years that he did his show. Of course, the show, Late Show with David Letterman. And to many, is actually a legacy that would fall on the same wall as Carson and Leno and Merv Griffin, Dick Cavett, and of course, Ed Sullivan. So this being said, it was kind of, I want to say astonishing. We'll say astonishing to see that Dave Letterman never really saw himself as a person in this way. And through the interviews, not just the one with Chappelle, but through the various ones, I would say more with Robert Downey, you start to realize that as Letterman was doing the show, he was so busy doing the show that I don't think he ever really took a moment to step back and realize the impact that he had. Which is kind of, it was sad, but also amazing, I guess, you know, to be so humble and not realize the impact that you had. Before the interview with Chappelle even starts, Letterman is talking about how nervous he is to interview him because he is intimidated by how great of a comic genius he is. And it's genuine. It's truly genuine. You don't feel that Letterman is putting on a show. He truly is nervous, which is funny because Chappelle also admires David Letterman and reflects about how nervous he was to even be able to do Letterman's show the very first time that he did it, you know, not in this interview, but the first time. And in the end, the humbleness and the admiration that they both have for each other is so impactful on a whole other level. All I could do was find myself smiling because there's these two great men that admire each other so much. And it was like, I don't know, it was like having Batman meet Captain America and having them both do nothing but admire each other for what the other has done without any regard of what they themselves have attained. And I thought that was great. I would say my second interview is a toss-up between Ellen DeGeneres and Robert Downey Jr., but I don't want to give too much away, so I will just say, watch it. We're going to go ahead and wrap this up, guys. As always, I want to thank you all for taking the time to listen. If you are a first-time listener, you can follow us and subscribe through Anchor. That's anchor.fm/thoughtonthespot. It is because of Anchor that we're available on whatever platform you're listening to us now, but we're also available on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and many more. And we thank Anchor for that. This is another review in the can. So until next time, grab some popcorn and your favorite drink and go out and see a great film with your family, your friends, or maybe just spend some time to yourself. But most importantly, have a great night.